Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Fringe. Only on the Vibe Network. Every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Where normal becomes paranormal. Here is your host, Rebecca.
She was mostly seen at the Freshco landfill in Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of workers there saw her holding a tray of cookies or serving coffee or a tray of coffee. The detective, Lieutenant Frank Mara, is the one that wrote a book about some of the experiences of the officers and first responders. And
the book is called Hallowed Ground.
Exactly. And he remembers seeing the apparition, but he repressed it. And it wasn't until he started doing research for the book that the officers were, there was this, figure that was in a Red Cross uniform, and then he realized he remembered that he saw her. So, and then she was seen also at the Ground Zero, but mostly she was at the landfill where they were sifting through all the debris, looking for victims as well as personal objects.
Yeah, and the one thing that I did read about, like, a spirit such as hers is she would be thought to be a soul collector, a spirit who's there to help earthbound spirits make their way into the afterlife.
Right.
But clearly, like, is that a long path?
And it, yeah, I mean, it was explained to Frank by a medium that that's most likely what she was.
Hmm. Now,
just there to help,
this is one...
help souls get across, yeah.
Go ahead. Cool. Now, yeah, I do have to ask, like, where were you when it all happened?
Oh, I was at work. I was sitting at my desk and listening to the radio. I believe it was Drew and Mike on WRIF here in Detroit.
Right.
And, you know, they came through with the reports of, you know, a plane hit the Trade Center, and, you know, they didn't know exactly what was going on. So, So eventually they brought a TV into the conference room and let us all, you know, filter in and back and forth to watch the news as things happened throughout the day.
Yeah, because I happened to be on the air myself, and we had a TV in the studio at that time, and we saw it and went, whoa, okay, here's like a big-time emergency. Like, something hit the World Trade Center, and then all of a sudden the second one hit, and it was like we had to start broadcasting about that immediately. And it changed from a funny show to, okay, this is real. And it gets scary pretty quick.
Yeah, it did. You know, they didn't know what was going on. First, there was reports of a small plane, and then, you know, then they realized that it was not a small plane. It was actually a commercial jet.
Yeah.
As, you know, it hit both towers, and then as well as the Pentagon, and then, of course, the Pennsylvania field, Flight 93.
Well, like when you and Rebecca pitched the show topic of, okay, this is what we're talking about, the 9/11, you know, tragedy, and paranormal activity might be going on, it was one of those, oh my, why didn't I think of this? You know, like they,
well, right,
they
exactly,
perfect.
Yeah,
right.
And you know, one of the things with the, you know, speaking of the Flight 93. There was a reporter that she was actually a community outreach specialist with the Pittsburgh division of the FBI. She wasn't a reporter. And she arrived at the field shortly after the crash.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote a book called Shadow of a Badge. And it recounts an amazing sight that she saw that day. She got there and she looked across the field and saw a shimmering light over to her left. And she said it was almost blinding. And then it evolved into a foggy white mist. And the mist began to move and grow and swirling in patterns and in this particular white light.
Wow.
And then it started taking more shape, and then a legion of angels appeared. And she said there were hundreds of them standing in columns, you know, and they were all just looking at the debris field.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then they were all dressed in, like, warrior garments, and they all stood at the perimeter of the site. And then she said there was one angel that, at the lead, that kind of stood out apart from the rest of them, and he was calmly in command. So, but she believed that that angel was Angel Michael.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then she said she watched in wonder as these angels started guiding the spirits on to the afterlife.
Hmm. No, to like for some of the people who were who lost somebody, there's a ton of stories online that I've been looking through that where they're getting reminders from the people who were lost in that tragedy. And the one that you had mentioned, Dan, was the quarter, the whole thing with the quarter. And I couldn't find that story, but wait a minute, I think I did. But the whole thing was here we go. The husband and wife, they had a whole thing where they had a little saying to each other: penny for your thought, nickel for a kiss, wonder what a quarter would get me. And it just became their little private inside joke. And then he unfortunately passed in 9/11. And all of a sudden, in her house, she was finding quarters in like the strangest places. Like she'd wake up in the morning and there would be one on the bathroom counter, or it would be in like, you know, a dish, like a teacup or something like that. And they would just show up all over the place. And that was his way of saying he was still there, which I thought was ultimately romantic as hell and just really, really neat.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty cool story.
That's really great.
Yeah, and then some of the other ones that I kind of looked up was another New York police officer. He said one night he was watching TV and a shadow man walked across his room. And I just said across the whole room, and then the whole room went dark. The spirits would often awaken him at night. He awakened to a feeling to a room that was dead, damp, and cold. And no matter what time he woke up in the morning, his clock always said 8:46 a.m. because it's when the first plane hit the first tower.
Yep. Yeah, I read that story too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know, he would even get. He would start taking pictures of the room, and he'd get it's kind of like the slime. You get the entrails on in pictures, and even spelling out his name.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then even at one point, there was a crucifix on his kitchen cabinet door. And so, you know, he just believes these spirits are trying to help have him pray for them to help them cross over.
Oh. Huh. Yeah, that sounds about right. They're just trying to get his attention, but unfortunately it's probably scary as can be. That was something to go through. The other thing that I heard most recently was with the new Freedom Tower, which is where Ground Zero was, and
right.
they're getting stories from people that say between floors 93 and 99, between midnight and 3 a.m., that people have seen
a ghost plane
coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's,
yeah. That's crazy.
Right. That same detective, he was working the 12-hour shift at the landfill. He started like at 4 in the afternoon and was working till 4 a.m. And he was driving along and he saw a man standing in the debris field just looking around. And as he pulled up, it disappeared. So he took it as, you know, a spirit that was lost or was looking for something. And then, you know, after that he had a heart attack and was forced to retire. And then that's when they started showing up at his house.
Wow.
Right. Then what about like astral projections? There was a story that I did read in doing research on this that there was a boy who was in fourth grade, and he was going to school in Brooklyn, but he could, you know, you could barely see the World Trade Center, but he could see the smoke. And his teacher his teacher sat there and just stared. And because she was just in awe, she was, you know, like everybody else, just like, okay, what just happened? And that night, by the time he went to sleep, he had not seen any of the footage of what had happened that day. And he went to bed, and when he went to bed, he said he saw the way that the building, you know, the bottom of it looked kind of like a ladder that was all broken and all the debris, and he's like, I could still see spirits inside of it. And he described the entire scene to a T. And then the next day woke up and went, wait a minute, I just saw that in my dream. I was there. I was walking around, and then I woke up. And have you heard of any more stories or any other stories about, like, any kind of astral projection with that?
There was another psychic medium, I believe, that she was actually, like, looking into the cabin of a plane, and everybody mm-hmm. was covered in this white light and looking very sullen. And I forget whatever else happened, but she finally had to pull herself out just so she couldn't look at it anymore.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know which plane it was she was looking at, but...
And then the other one is, there's been reports of, and there's a video on YouTube, but you can see the spirit actually leaving the building, and it's not the lighting
right.
from the... Did you see that one?
Yeah, I've seen that one,
yeah.
It's like
and
a
then
bluish
there's also reports,
light, yeah.
Yep, there's also reports of a black object, which I guess is what collects the souls or something like that. I'm not familiar with that at all, but I've read reports about that as well.
Yeah,
the
first responders had mentioned that they had seen black masses wandering around the site.
Hmm.
Yeah, there was
shadow. No, go ahead, please.
Yeah, they could have been shadow people or, you know, shadow figures or, you know, like you said, the soul collectors. I mean, you know, there were hundreds of people that perished in this, so, you know, you need all kinds of help to be able to help these people cross over.
Right.
The Flight 93, she was said that she saw spirits going willingly with them, and they saw other spirits. She saw other spirits that were just, you know, no, you know. So, I mean, it's kind of, they're there to help, but I mean, you still have free will,
right?
So, you know, you can refuse to take the help. And she's a devout Catholic, so I mean, she brought a lot of her faith into what she saw. So,
right.
Can you guys hear me? Okay. Another woman said she was comforted by what appeared to be a monk. As she perceived it, as she laid in the rubble, he held her hand and told her she was going to be okay. You know, were stories of people being, you know, comforted right at the scene, living people that lived through the event, being comforted by the people that had already passed, which I thought was kind of cool that they would take the time to stay with the people that, you know, were trapped or trying to get out and help them to do that. And I don't know if they were spirits. Well, the people that had passed at 9/11, or as you guys had mentioned, angels, for instance, or, you know, maybe they were there as well. I mean, this was an incident,
right,
like I said, where 3,000 people perished in a matter of half an hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if it's not your time, it's not your time, and these people are going to help you, you know, survive the incident.
Exactly.
You know, these people weren't supposed to die that day, so they
right.
helped them survive.
Right. And Dan, you did provide us with a piece of audio. I'm going to go ahead and play that now. Okay. As we're about halfway into the show, and then I'm going to let you go ahead and explain what this is, okay?
All right. You can play it first, or you want me to kind of explain
I'll play it first, and then you can go ahead and explain it.
Okay. All right.
Okay, and as you can hear, there's kind of a wailing or almost a sound like a
moaning or, yeah, right. Some people believe that that's either angel singing or, the deceased, wailing. But this started happening after the new tower had been starting to be constructed.
Mm-hmm.
And it only happens in high wind, so they're not sure if it's coming from the building, coming through, when windows weren't there yet, and, coming through the steel, or, workers there building it were trying to figure it out, and they couldn't figure out where the sound was coming from.
Wow.
And it's even been happening after the building was completed even.
Oh.
But there's, there's these cell towers and whatever they put on these buildings with high tension wires. I mean, the wind could be hitting them at such a frequency that they're vibrating. But again, nobody's been able to figure out exactly where the sound is coming from.
Being a architect, do you think that's plausible?
That it could be something related to the building, high wind, it only happens at high winds, not just a normal breeze.
Okay.
So it could be something that is, the wind's blowing at such the right frequency to start vibrating the steel or the tension wires or whatever's constructed the building.
This might be kind of a dumb question, but with the way that spirits can communicate with us in a variety of ways, has wind ever been one of them?
Can spirits communicate through wind? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can use any medium, water, wind. Yeah, that they have used that as a medium to communicate.
Oh.
And speaking of the Ground Zero, there was the hotel, the Millennium Hilton Hotel, that overlooked Ground Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And there were one guest was in his room, and he felt like there was a crowd of people in his room, but there was nobody there. And then other guests have reported having nightmares of people, staring into their rooms, but like on the 15th, 16th floor. So the hotel basically tried not to rent those rooms that were facing Ground Zero until they absolutely had to, because it was happening a lot. Go ahead.
There are stories too of that same hotel. That side of the hotel, they've had to actually close the curtains because in the middle of the night people wake up and see people's face and hands pressed against the glass looking at
right.
them.
Right, yeah.
Go ahead, Ryan, I'm sorry.
No, I apologize. One of the other stories that I found was about some of the people who were working the site, trying to clean all the debris and everything like that. And, one of the workers here writes that they had a little trailer that they would sleep in, and it was just a one-person trailer, but it had a restroom. And when she was there, the toilet would flush really loud at night for no reason whatsoever, and it never did it before or since, and it was only on that site. And I found that kind of hilarious because I've gone through that myself. But there's kinds of stories about the workers who experienced phase two, not just first responders or anything like that. And it's just incredible to read how much activity there really is there.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like you said, there's still activity going on at that site.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I read a story where there was a piece of steel from the original tower. I believe it's in the museum now. But a face had shown up on it.
Wow.
And almost looking in horror down at the debris. And the workers would not go anywhere near it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine a face showing up in this piece of steel that, yeah, I think you'd be a little, I don't think I want to go near that.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, they said they can see a face in the steel and they won't go anywhere near it.
Right. There's even, before the towers collapsed, I saw a picture of it. But there, in the smoke, you could see like a devilish, demonic face.
Oh, yeah,
smoke.
I saw that in the
photo.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, now whether that's, you know, your brain trying to create a face or something that was actually there, up to your interpretation. So.
Yeah, there's also a story about the cell phones on the airplane. Did you want to go ahead and see you got that?
I read that too. There was an official that said basically at 10,000 feet is when cell phone reception is cut off. It doesn't work. These planes are flying at 29 to 33,000 feet. But people were able to use their cell phones to call loved ones and let them know what was going on. And that's ultimately how we learned what was going on. I mean, the news stations, so was that divine intervention to get the word out to what was going on this was a terrorist attack and not some fluke.
Right. This is over. They're still reliving it.
Right. Which, this is a horrific tragedy that does happen where people die all of a sudden, don't know what's going on.
Right.
So it's like, what happened? Where am I?
Exactly. And, it's just, it was a horrific incident that, they've had stories coming out of the Pentagon since the 9/11 where they see spirits walking down the hallways. Now, I don't know, did anyone die at the Pentagon?
Pentagon?
I have not heard any of those stories, but.
Yeah. Wasn't there one?
At the original. The Ground Zero site, I mean, there were, I don't know how many remains, they were never found.
Over 1,000.
Yeah. So, there's these souls that are walking around that their body has never been technically laid to rest.
Right. they're in a mass grave. I mean, the name of the site where they were taken is just horrible to begin with. I mean,
right?
What, yeah.
Was that the name of this place before?
That was, yeah, it was.
Yeah, I was
kind of taken aback by that myself.
Yeah.
It took them, what, a year and a half or better to sift through all the debris?
Yeah.
It was at least 18 months, yeah.
Yeah. And there's still debris there. I mean, the fire trucks, police cars.
Yeah, piled up.
Still, that's stacked up at this landfill.
Yeah, piled up fire trucks.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
there was a
whole crew died in these fire trucks because they were crushed.
Yeah. I mean, there were piles of IDs that they had to sort mm-hmm. through. You know,
yeah.
I mean, like you said, some people have never been identified. They don't know where their bodies are to this day. Their families had no one to bury. And
right.
That has to make the...
I would think so.
I mean, these spirits that are visiting that one detective, I mean, they could be the ones that have never been found.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they're still trying to get him to help them find their bodies.
Yeah, I don't... At this late day, I highly doubt anyone's going to get found. I mean...
No, yeah, I mean, there were some people that they were absolutely gone. I mean, there's no nothing.
Yeah, they were pretty much evaporated by the heat, yeah.
Well, that or you know, the weight of the debris, you know, just disintegrated them.
Right. And, you know... What is the paranormal fringe with a little bit of conspiracy theory, you guys? I did some research on this, and they said right before the September 11th attacks, there was some fishy business that happened with the stock markets and insurance firms. They said an extraordinary amount of put options were placed on United Airlines and American Airlines stocks, which were the same airlines that were hijacked during the attacks. Many speculate that traders were tipped off about the attacks and profited from the tragedy. I hate to think that's true. The stories, the Securities and Exchange Commission launched an insider trading investigation, which Osama bin Laden was a suspect after the receiving this information from at least one Wall Street firm. So, you know, there's some speculation that this was, you know, something that we was known about ahead of time, which is, if that's true, that's tragic. And they said the World Trade Center collapse appeared similar to controlled demolition. I don't know if you guys have heard that before. But the way
heard,
that,
heard
that
what?
Fell, that the
oh,
World
right.
Trade Center
yeah,
collapse
yeah,
appeared
it was almost,
similar
yeah.
to a controlled demolition. And many speculate that the towers were, in fact, blown down with explosives placed in selected locations inside the building. Some of the witnesses recounted hearing explosions inside the building as they attempted to escape. And many architects and scientists even maintained that the plane's fuel cannot produce enough heat to melt the steel frames of the two buildings that collapsed.
Right. I mean, there was fire protection on the steel.
Right.
But what happened was the force of the impact blew a lot of that off the steel at the floors that were hit. So, I mean, the fire gets hot enough, steel will melt.
Wow.
And, you know, and this happened, what, on the 99th floor or something? And there were still how many floors up above that yet? And once the steel on that floor melted enough that it just bent, and the weight of every floor, all the floors above, just started collapsing the floors. So it went down almost like you said, a controlled
demolition. Yeah.
You know, but it, you know, there's so much weight coming down that it would, you know, to just start to collapse in the floors and just be in a matter of seconds.
Yeah. You know, just. They also said that during the weeks following the attack, the plane's black boxes were one of the most important items under investigation. They were the only evidence into what happened inside the cockpits of the plane. Three or four black boxes were found, but only one was in good enough condition to hear. The tapes were not initially released, but shared with the families of the victims. Skeptics believe the tapes were not disclosed in order to support some secret scheme. I'd hate to think that the
U.S. government.
You know, what are the odds of these planes getting through? You know, in the middle of a business day, commercial flights not being intercepted. I mean, was this something that in our history that was meant to happen that could not be avoided? I mean, it just seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, the security was so lax at that point, you know, and that they could get on with box cutters. And then what they would do is they would kill someone right there on the, you know, the plane to show that they had control and instill fear in the passengers so that they wouldn't react. But, you know, of course, Flight 93 found out. Yeah. But, you know, Flight 93 hijackers found out that day that didn't work.
No, it did not.
And the passengers on Flight 93 knew, and they surmised that they were heading towards the White House.
Right.
And so they tried to take control of the hijackers. I mean, there was even a pilot on board, and they held him back so that they could get into the cockpit and subdue the attackers and then get him up there to fly the plane. Well, the hijackers, you know, knew what was up and inverted the plane and dove into the field.
Yeah, there's a theory out there as well that a lot has been said about the plane that went down near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. They stand the way to
That's Flight 93, yeah.
Yeah, and the two most prominent theories basically contradict one another. The first is that the Air Force was ordered to stand down even after the hijacking was confirmed, and as a result, no fighter jets were put in the air to take down the plane or any other of the three other planes. Another claim is the U.S. military actually shot down Flight 93, and eyewitnesses' accounts from this area say that a white plane was seen flying in that area.
Go ahead.
Yeah, these are the facts. In reality, two F-15s and three F-16s were scrambled after the planes were reported hosting or hijacked that morning out of the just 14 fighter jets on alert in the lower 48 states that day. But there was a problem with them. The hijacked planes were nowhere to be found. The hijackers had turned off the transponders, making it almost impossible to figure out where they were. And radar at the time didn't cover the United States internally. And as for the second plane, yes, there was another jet. It was a corporate plane that was actually contacted by the Federal Aviation Administration and asked to do a flyby to see what happened with the downed Flight 93. The co-pilot of that marketing jet had confirmed this account.
Okay.
So
well,
basically,
there were several witnesses.
Go ahead.
Well, there were several witnesses in, you know, around the field, that field that day, who saw the plane flip upside down and then crash into the field. But then, like you said, I think there were other witnesses that say they saw an Air Force jet near the plane. You know, so I mean, there's contradicting eyewitness reports.
Is this like an InfoWars thing, or is this like legitimate news?
This is legitimate theories
and witnesses, yeah.
Okay.
Now, do you guys have any other stories of paranormal activity that you'd like to talk about at the 9/11 memorial? Or any of the other sites? Do you guys, I didn't mean to cut you guys off with my conspiracy theory stuff, but you know where I am.
yeah, those are pretty much what I had seen, the stories that I saw. I mean, Ryan, did you come up with anything else?
Yeah, I had a few different things. Like, okay, the black objects, is that different from a shadow person because of the black objects that were seen at the site? Are those different or are they the same?
Hard to say. Yeah.
So, no, go ahead. Finish. And I got a follow-up question.
Well, yeah, I think there's two different things going on there. Shadow people are... they're not of this... never been people.
Okay.
They're either from another dimension, or
there's the big black objects that were seen at the site of World Trade Center, and you know, like, what were they doing there? You know, was it just like a feast? I mean, I hate to say it that way, but you know, is it like it to them?
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, I mean, it's just evil. What other people saw of, you know, black objects, it could have been, it just was shadows is what they saw of angels or what helping the...
Okay, so there was like good and evil there, you know, doing what they do.
Right. Right.
Okay.
I mean, these... black figures, they could have been there just to observe the destruction.
Hmm.
And, you know, they're evil, and then they, you know, they get excited about it.
Right. So what do you think? What do you guys think of the conspiracy theories around it? Do you think any of them are true, or do you think any of them are, you know, complete nonsense, or do you think one is so crazy that it just could work?
I think they all have some sort of plausibility to them. I mean, otherwise, they wouldn't have legs. I don't think there's anything that's, like, so far-fetched that, oh, yeah, come on, you know, so...
Right.
It's just what people interpret and believe in of themselves that don't run with, you know, a particular conspiracy theory.
Hmm.
Okay. I don't know. I have a really hard time with the concept to this day that I'll take them both down.
Two different planes. I mean, a plane hit each tower, so.
Right, but I mean, to take them down completely.
No, I get you. Yeah, I mean, you know, when that happened that day, I mean, one of my coworkers asked me, will that collapse or will it have to be torn down? And I said, well, if it doesn't collapse, it's going to have to be torn down.
Right.
And then probably about a half an hour later is when the first tower fell.
Hmm.
I mean, I think the hardest thing for me was watching the people jumping out of the windows.
Yeah. That was their only option, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was reports of... No, I don't know these ones.
I haven't seen that, but...
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, I was right.
Yeah. That was one.
Some of that too, you know, it's like how many hundreds of people were on those floors above the where it was hit. They had no way of getting down. I mean, they may have pushed some people to get to the window themselves, you know.
Yeah, true. I mean, if it's the choice between burning to death or jumping out a window, I don't know if I were in that situation, which one I would pick. I mean, I had my cousin who was at 9/11, this was his first day of work. You know, and he's like,
hello.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was on like the 11th floor, and he called his mom from behind his desk and told her what was going on. She's like, very funny. Ha ha. You know, was this your first day?
Joke.
And he's like, no, mom, you know, a plane hit. And she went to turn the TV on. And, you know, was floored to see this really happen. I mean, I don't know if you guys did, but when I first heard about it, I'm like, no way.
Right. I mean, everybody would thought it was, you know, a little Cessna, because that happened in the 40s where a plane hit the Empire State Building.
Right. I mean,
but it was a small plane, and it was really foggy, and the weather was terrible, and their way and ran into the building.
Right.
But this was a clear day, blue skies, sunny. You know, there was no way that it was a mistake.
No.
Especially after, I mean, that was the theory until the second plane hit 10 minutes later.
Right,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is a terrorist attack. Yeah, so.
I mean, I remember turning the TV on and watching the Today Show. I mean.
Right.
And the shock on their faces, because.
Right, yeah. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
No, they're like a plane hit the towers, and everybody, so, you know, like you said, they thought it was a Cessna, and, then it just started, you know, going downhill.
Right. Well, a friend of mine, his office, they were circling through going there for seminars, and a friend of his was in the hotel, you know, of course, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, he was in the shower, and then the fire alarm goes off, you know, so... I mean, all he had time to do was grab a hotel robe and run out. And
that happens to a lot of people,
Yeah, he was in the street. And then when the towers collapsed, all that dust and debris, I mean, he crawled under a van. I mean, he was blocks away, so, I mean, it wasn't where the debris was going to fall on him. But, I mean, you know, that cloud of dust. But, you know, he crawled under a van to shield himself as best he could from the dust and debris. But,
wow,
you know, my friend was supposed to go the next week. So he was like, wow.
How
How's he doing health-wise?
Go ahead, Ryan.
How's he doing health-wise?
I haven't heard from him because my friend isn't working there anymore, so I don't know how he's doing now, but I heard another story where, you know, of course, where the plane hit the Pentagon, they were just finishing the construction of that part, you know, the renovation. And the contract company lost their contract, and the foreman, you know, was going to lose his job, but the new company that was coming in to take over offered him his same job. And, you know, something kept telling him, just move on, do something else. And so he decided not to take that job. Well, that where his office was, that's where the plane hit. And the new guy that took over his job perished.
Wow.
Yeah.
Divine intervention.
Yeah. And he actually saw, he was driving to his new job and passed the Pentagon. And, you know, he got passed and he saw in his mirror and he's like, man, that plane's awful low. And then he saw in his mirror the plane hit the Pentagon.
Wow.
So to do that and see it happen is just unreal.
Yeah, that'll definitely make you think.
Right.
Yeah. Wasn't
it makes
time.
Me go, okay, what am I supposed to do here now? You know?
Right.
Right. Why am I still here?
I got to make my life mean something now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the number that came through was his cell phone number.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when she went in later to check, it was on the nightstand and he forgot it that day.
Wow.
Wow. Well, that was right.
Yeah. It's amazing, you know, what we put our mind to. We want you bad enough to reach people that we love.
Yeah.
And we're getting close to wrapping up here. So what I'm going to do at the end, why don't you go ahead and let us know what Les Paranormal is going to be doing over the next month or so, like a couple months, where people can find you.
What?
Go ahead.
I said, why don't you go ahead and tell us, give us the name of your website, where people can reach you, what you're going to be doing over the next couple months.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You can reach us at www.glassparanormal.com. We have some evidence and pictures up on that site. But we're going to be at MI Paracon in the Sault Ste. Marie, August 24th through the 26th. We'll also be in Toledo, September 23rd. I forget the name of the Toledo Parafest or something like that. And then October 2nd, we'll be at Glass City Paracon. Also, that's in Toledo. We'll have links to those up on our website as well. You can also get us on Facebook and Glass Paranormal.
And you're also doing an event at the museum, at the Dearborn Public Museum coming up, right?
Right, yeah, we're doing the Halloween paranormal event October 27th and 28th, where we investigate the Dearborn Historical Museum.
Awesome.
And then, in April next year, we'll be at the Toledo Yacht Club for their Midwest Parafest.
Awesome. And we will post a link to all your information on the Fringe page so people can contact you. Glass Paranormal does do residential cases as well. If you need some help, make sure you reach out to them first,
right.
And we will see you next week.
Much love.
All right.